The Harbor Widow. My name is Jasper Jazz Blackwell. Charleston Harbor looks peaceful at night if you don't know how many secrets the water keeps. The widow was waiting at the end of Pier 18 in a black coat, salt wind snapping the hem around her knees. Behind her, dock lights flickered gold across the dark water. Ahead, fog swallowed the shape of Fort Sumter like history had decided to disappear. Her name was Celeste Whitcomb. 3 years ago, her husband, Graham Whitcomb, vanished during a private boating trip. The Coast Guard found his blood on the deck, his watch in the cabin, and no body. Charleston society mourned him for 6 months. Celeste mourned him longer. Then his phone called her. She played me the voicemail with trembling fingers, static, water slapping wood. Then a man's voice, thin and broken, "Don't let them open the ledger." Celeste looked at me. "That was Graham." "People fake voices," I said. "People fake grief too, Pastor. I know the difference." Detective Mia Sanchez met me at the marina office 20 minutes later. "You know how many favors I burned pulling this file?" she asked. "Given your tone, all the tasteful ones." She slid me a folder. "Graham Whitcomb, shipping investor, philanthropist, donated to half the city. Men who donate to half the city usually owe something to the other half." Inside the folder was a photograph of Graham's boat, the Providence, drifting 5 miles offshore. No body, no distress call, no explanation. Mia tapped one page. "Insurance paid out $12 million. Who benefited?" "Celeste and the Whitcomb Foundation." "That foundation's still active?" "Very. Run by Graham's brother, Preston." Preston Whitcomb greeted us at the foundation office in a linen suit and a smile polished smooth by money. "Celeste is unwell," he said. "Grief has made her vulnerable." "Vulnerable people don't usually hire me," I said. "Desperate ones do." His smile cooled. "There's a difference?" "Yes, desperate tells the truth faster." Behind him, a framed photo showed Graham, Preston, and a third man at a dockside fundraiser. The third man was Captain Ellis Rourke, Harbor Patrol, retired. Mia noticed my glance. Preston noticed Mia noticing. That's when I knew we had company in the lie. At midnight, Celeste gave me Graham's old storage key, Unit 47, inland from the marina. "You didn't give this to police?" I asked. "I didn't trust the police." Mia looked offended. Celeste looked at her. "Your department closed the case in 10 days. Mia said nothing. The storage unit smelled of mildew and engine oil. Inside were boxes of foundation receipts, shipping manifests, and one framed photograph turned face down. I lifted it. Graham and Celeste on their wedding day. On the back, written in black ink, "Forgive me for what I moved through the harbor." Mia found the ledger taped under a drawer. Names, dates, dock numbers, payments. I recognized the pattern before I wanted to. Human trafficking. Women moved through charity supply shipments. Children listed as medical aid cargo. Mia whispered, "Dear God," my phone buzzed. Unknown number. A text. "Leave the ledger where you found it." Then came headlights outside. 3 vehicles. No sirens. Mia drew her weapon. Jazz. Already saw them. Men entered with suppressed pistols and expensive shoes. Not dock trash. Hired professionals. I killed the lights. The unit went black. A gunshot cracked through the door. Mia fired back. I moved low, grabbed the ledger, and slammed my shoulder into the shelving. Metal racks collapsed into the first man as he came through. He hit the concrete hard. Mia dropped the second with a clean shot to the leg. The third ran. I chased him into the rain. He made it 10 feet before a figure stepped from the fog and drove him face first into a parked truck. Jamal Cobra Wallace looked down at him. "You said marina," he told me. "This ain't marina." "Traffic was light," Jamal grunted. "Your lies need work." Back at the pier, Celeste broke when she saw the ledger. "Graham found out," she said. "He said Preston and Rourke were using the foundation. He was going to expose them." "Then why fake his death?" Mia asked. Celeste looked at the water. "Because he helped them at first." Silence settled hard. "He thought it was smuggling medicine," she said. "By the time he knew, they owned him. He said if he vanished, they'd get sloppy." I stepped closer. "Where is he?" Celeste's answer came from the fog, a boat engine. A small cabin cruiser drifted toward the pier. At the wheel stood a gaunt man with hollow cheeks and haunted eyes. Graham Whitcomb had come home. Preston arrived seconds later with Rourke and 2 armed men, old money and old corruption, standing beneath dock lights. "You should have stayed dead, brother," Preston said. Graham lifted a pistol with shaking hands. I stepped between them. Graham don't. He sold children. And you helped build the road. That hit him harder than any bullet. His arm dropped. Mia's backup swarmed the dock. Rourke ran. Jamal caught him before he reached the gate. Preston looked at me as Mia cuffed him. You think truth fixes this? No, I said, but lies kept the wound open. By dawn, federal agents had the ledger. Survivors would be found. Families would be called. Some prayers would be answered. Others would break people. Celeste stood beside Graham but did not touch him. Am I your widow? She asked. Graham looked at her with all the shame 3 years could carve into a man. I don't know. Neither did I. Charleston Harbor brightened under the rising sun, beautiful as a hymn, deep as a grave. Some men drown, some resurface, and some return only to learn the life they saved is no longer theirs. God doesn't bury the truth. He reveals it. I just stay long enough to witness it. This case is closed.